Well, it is good to be with you all here this morning. As Pastor mentioned, obviously our family is with us today, later in furlough. We're going to be missing Jeremiah as he starts college, but we're thankful that they're all with us today and traveling. We will be on furlough until about January of next year. That will give us a chance to be in approximately 60 churches. Many of them are our supporters, just as you all, so we can greet and enjoy fellowship and encourage, hopefully, along the way. And then get my son off to college, us to continue to travel and take care of some other things ministerially that we need to before we return to the island. I will share another prayer request with you. Just as I was seated here in the pew, yesterday we received note while we were traveling that a family member of one of our church members was diagnosed with cancer and basically sent home to pass away. It was my understanding that it would be at least a few days before that that family member would pass away. But my wife just received a message this morning right now letting us know that family member did pass away. So if you think of Rosa and her family, it's a pretty close-knit family. They were pretty much next-door neighbors, not just family across town or things like that. I do not know that this family member was saved. As far as I know, she was not saved. And so that is going to be a heavy burden on Rosa and her family here this morning. So I only share that not to start off with a discouragement, but just the reality of ministry. We are seeking to minister the best we can from afar. Our ministry does need continued prayer and guidance. We have a man by the name of Roger Papias who's traveling partway across the island to cover things while we're not there. And another man, another pastor, is covering things on Wednesdays. But that is a prayer request that we have, and we try and stay in contact with our people, but there are needs. And so I just figured I'd share that here this morning to get started. We are delighted to be with you all. As Pastor mentioned, we do have two tables. Please feel free to go ahead and take a look, ask questions. That's why we're here. And even pick up the frog, just not during the singing. I don't mind during the preaching, but pick up the frog during not during the singing, but squeeze his belly. Make sure you squeeze his belly. He'll feel comfortable if you squeeze his belly. If you squeeze my belly, I will not feel comfortable. But if you squeeze his belly, he will feel at home. And that will give you a little bit of a surprise, a piece of Puerto Rico that you can at least hear after you squeeze his belly. We don't have a name for him. Maybe we should do like a competition across the churches as to the best name for our frog. So far, we haven't started that. It's just an idea. My wife's not looking at me like it's a very good idea. But I have these things every once in a while. I'll just blame it on the miles traveled. Luis, we're going to call him Luis because there's 5 million Luises in Puerto Rico. So that's fine. So that's Luis, and his little brother Luis is in a box too, so if you want to see him, he's about this big. But feel free. Otherwise, other than that, we do have, as Pastor mentioned, the books, just some of the material. Really, I never anticipated writing. That was not my approach to ministry. But over the years, we've realized that there's been a great need for certain materials, specifically in Spanish. But because my first language is English, we obviously have some materials in English. They go hand in hand with those materials in Spanish. If there's anything we can do to be an encouragement, you have questions, anything along those lines, feel free to ask us. Okay, this is an advertisement. It's just information. But if there is something that can be a blessing to you, that's partially why it's there, so that it can be a blessing to you or whomever you believe it can be a blessing for. So feel free to take a look. And we're here with you, unfortunately not all day, just part of the day, but we want to be an encouragement while we're here. So please let us know how we can do that. We did go through the hurricane, and we do want to personally express our gratitude to each of you, to this ministry, to Pastor, for caring for us during that period of time, participating with us in the ministry through your extra gifts and prayers. Those were things that, quite frankly, we often didn't know where funds were coming from, but we knew they were flowing. And so we're very grateful for that. And we're very thankful for the prayers. Only God knows those who actually supported us through some of those days, based upon the prayers that he received on our behalf and the strength that he shared with us during that time, and the opportunities that we had to minister during that period of time, truly are contingent on God's strength, and then the companionship and ministry that fellow believers had with us around the world. People that we may not even know who they are at this point in time. We probably never will on this earth, but God will, I believe, reveal that when we get to heaven. We're very grateful for that. As Pastor also mentioned, just a few days before our departure to come back to the States on furlough, we were there during the earthquakes, the major one. There was a 5.8, and then there was a 6.4, and then there was another 5.8, and those three kind of started a rumble that hasn't fully ceased. Those earthquakes have definitely shaken things up once again on the island. Some of our church people are sleeping outside. Many of them have at least come indoors, but several are still sleeping close to the door to be able to get out. There have been hundreds of earthquakes over a 3.0 since the December 28th, 29th. The first initial little ones, the major 6.4 was on January 6th. And so the morning of January 6th. Just continue to pray. We're thankful that there's no major damage, that our church people are reporting, and our own church building is standing sound. I'm thankful for that because the renovations of our building were just finished October, November, and so I really was kind of nervous that all that work was just kind of destroyed. It's amazing the strength that God has to stir things up and even destroy what we have done in just a few moments. There are many people, however, who have been affected, and the island is being affected greatly. So just pray that the Lord would allow this to be an open door for ministry for those who are there and for us as we return. But let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to, we're going to start at the commonplace, but I'd like to do something a little different here this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28. It's a common passage. I think it's pretty common. If a missionary is coming to town, somewhere it's probably going to come up, right? It's probably out there somewhere, at least the baseline. Matthew 28 is one of what we would consider and is often titled the Great Commission passages, right? You know, here's the thing, though, this morning, and I only have about 15, 20 minutes, but I want to make sure that we recognize that there's other passages in the Gospels that say the same thing. And when God repeats himself four times, and even including going into the book of Acts five times, is probably a pretty significant truth that he wants to communicate. And if we think about this, we're talking about four Gospels, four different authors. Now, it's believed that Acts was written by Luke, one of the authors of the Gospel. So four authors all come to the conclusion at the end of their writing to say the same thing. That's an inspired word of God. And so when we think about the Great Commission, I don't think there's any problem with us automatically thinking Matthew 28. But I think that there's some little truths in some of the other passages that can both aid in Matthew chapter 28, but also they amplify. I have, over the years, enjoyed teaching in Puerto Rico in our church on things like the miracles and parables of Jesus Christ. But what I do when I teach those is I don't teach just one account of those. I take one account from one of the Gospels, and that's my primary. But then where a Gospel brings in a little bit more information, we add to the story. So it's kind of like we have a sketch of black and white, and then we bring in some color. And it just really amplifies the context and the meaning, and there's truths that we can walk away from and really see how practical and yet how sound spiritually and eternally these truths are. And so that's what I want to do. If you have your Bible open to Matthew 28, that's perfectly great. That's where we're going to kind of initially start. But let me mark, and even if you can mark them down or if you can open your Bible, put your fingers in them. We have five fingers. Maybe you can get all of them. But the other passages that we want to consider briefly is Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. Mark 16, 15 to 18. That's one of the other gospel accounts of the Great Commission. Then we have Luke 24, verse 46 to 49. That would be a third account of the Great Commission provided for us. And then we have John 20, 21 to 23. So those are the four gospel accounts, and of course, Acts 1:8. And a lot of you are looking at me going, this is just crazy. If this man is anything like my pastor, which he's already indicated that he would come and finish preaching after a fire alarm, there's no way he can touch on all of these passages. So let me help you understand my intention. My intention is not to preach through all of these passages, but to highlight some truths that hopefully will encourage us and amplify our understanding of our purpose, not only around the world, but here this morning. And I said it on that way on purpose. Not only around the world, because everybody knows the Great Commission involves the whole world, right? But God's purpose for us right here, for you right here, in your town, in your area of Virginia, at Hanover Baptist Church, what is God wanting you to do? How do you participate in this great and awesome program that God has? Now, once again, I don't believe that I'm speaking to individuals who've never heard these principles before. Sunday school is an opportunity for teaching. It's an opportunity for reminder. In Sunday school, we'll talk about the miracles, parables of Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ, those types of things we've done since we were children. It's good to repeat. And then hopefully have different angles that can encourage us. And that's my goal. Okay, so let's pause for a word of prayer, just briefly, and then let's consider some of these truths. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this group here this morning and this opportunity to share with both young and old and those who perhaps are seasoned in their Christian life as well as others who may be new. Lord, I ask that the brief moments that we have here this morning would be an encouragement, that there would be some perspectives that would encourage us and deepen and amplify our purpose for meeting together here this morning and then leaving this place to fulfill your calling for our lives. We ask you for your blessing and your direction in our time. In your name, amen. Now, if we look at Matthew 28, we know that the Bible is clear that it starts off with this idea of go. And as I'm sure many of you have heard over the years, this really isn't so much in the command form. It's really as you're going. So as you're going to the grocery store, okay, as you're going to work tomorrow, as you're going to school, perhaps, maybe as you're going on vacation, how does that sound? As you're going into the world, wherever God directs you, how He guides you, there is a task, there is a job that's supposed to be done. Now, if we look at the other gospel accounts, say Mark 16:15, it says, go ye into all the world. In Luke 24:47, it says, among all nations were to do these things, beginning in Jerusalem. In John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We're not sent by pastor's authority. We're not even sent by the local church's authority, as much as the local church recognizes the authority of God to be sent out from this place. But that calling is not just for me as a missionary. God's calling to send forth is not just for the pastor and the special minister under that title that we find in religion of a minister. It's for all of us to be participating in this opportunity to go forth representing Jesus Christ. If you look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17 is a common passage for many believers connected to their testimony. It's a passage of saying that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But then it goes on in the following verses to say that we all have received a ministry of reconciliation. A word of reconciliation, or the word of reconciliation, which would be the gospel of peace presented in God's word. At the conclusion of that, in the beginning of verse number 20, it says that we, all of us, are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We have been sent forth to all the world. Now, God may put me on a plane and send me to a small island in the Caribbean, or He may have you stay right here in this town all of your life. But we all have the same job. And it's not stated just in Matthew. It's stated across the Gospels and into Acts. You cannot escape this. This is not just my job. This is our privilege to represent our Savior. Now, when you go further into the gospel account in Matthew 28, We find that there's some words, and here I'm going to pause to actually ask you to go to some of the accounts that we're going to talk about. But look at Matthew 28, verse 19 with me. It says, go ye into all the world and do what? This is class. This is Sunday school. I like interaction, so help me out. What's the next word? Teach. Teach. Now that word actually is connected to the idea of disciple. A disciple really is a student. It's a student who then follows what they're taught. Now, there's a lot of students in a lot of classes that don't really apply what they learn. The idea of a disciple is actually somebody who learns and then applies, follows his teacher. And so here we have that there is a need for teaching to take place. Now, notice it says go, and we're all included in this process. So actually, it's not just the pastor who's supposed to teach from the pulpit, and it's not just a Sunday school teacher who's supposed to teach in their classroom, but all of us should be going forth looking for opportunities to share information, to make disciples. Now, there are some students that have come to my class in college, and after they arrived, they started to fall asleep. And there are people in this world that when you start to talk about Jesus Christ, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically, will start to fall asleep. And at that moment, it may be best that we just wrap up our little class and move on. That's perfectly fine. You can see it in their faces when you make comments about, yeah, the weather is nice, but what a great God we have. And they just kind of, whoop, shut down. You may have the opportunity to go ahead and start to share with even family members about Jesus Christ, and you can just see, they just turned you. You know, a teacher can only teach as long as there's a student, so if there's no student, don't keep pushing the envelope. But you know, the idea that the Bible shares with us about the Great Commission is that there is supposed to be instruction both received as well as given to others. When I was in college, they liked to illustrate it this way. We are all sponges. But if a sponge is only sitting there soaking up, it gets pretty rancid pretty fast. And unfortunately, there's some stinky Christians. I'm not saying you didn't take a shower. I'm just saying that maybe we've been taking in this class or we've been taking in the preaching from this ministry for too long without sharing it with those around us. There's time for us to take what we've learned and share it with somebody else. And the truth of the matter is, I have learned as a teacher that I really learn things when I finally teach them to somebody else. Before that, it's just a bunch of information that maybe sticks in my Teflon brain. But when I have to teach it to somebody else, it becomes personal. Is the gospel of Jesus Christ personal to you, so personal that you're sharing it with others? It's a question that I have for you. I know that I'm here to represent missions, but I don't believe that representing missions means talking about out there. I believe it means talking about right here. Because when it's right here, out there will happen. But when it's not right here, out there will never take place. And so I want to come and just encourage us with the ideas of these principles, such as this one. We find in verse number 20, it says, teaching them once again. Once again, we have this idea of giving instruction. The Great Commission demands instruction, teaching, both being received as well as being shared. It is a mandate from God. You cannot escape it. But there's something else that we find in Mark 16. Go ahead and open your Bible there, if you will, please. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, there's another word that's used, and unfortunately, once again, in religion, it is often used in such a context that the average believer doesn't think it's their responsibility. It's a misunderstanding of the definition. Here we have the Bible saying to us in Mark 16 and verse number 15, the Bible says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and what's the next word?
Preach.
Now, perhaps you've called your pastor preacher. Perhaps you believe that preaching can only happen behind a pulpit. The word preach, and I don't think I'm talking to individuals who haven't heard these truths before. It's just a reminder. The actual biblical word for the word preach means announce, proclaim. It's the idea of a herald or coming in before we had all this electronic news, coming into town, standing in the middle of town, perhaps on a wooden box or a chair, lifting up his voice and saying, "Here is what the king has said. This is what you need to know." So when's the last time you went to the center of town, stood on a box? No, I'm not saying you have to do that. But you certainly should be known for somebody that when you come in the room, others around you go, "You know what? They're probably going to share with me about their king. They're going to talk to me about their Lord. I may like it or I may not like it." You know, a lot of towns rebelled against the announcements that were made by the king, but didn't change it. The king had the authority to have the announcement made, and he had people who went forth on his behalf announcing it. Ambassadors, I believe, is a title that we use. Are you an ambassador who actually does their job? Are we announcing the King of Kings? That we would preach something in particular. This passage says that we're supposed to preach something in particular. What is the thing that we're supposed to preach? The gospel. The good news. It is one thing for a heralder to come into town and announce that there's a new law and a new tax. Yeah. It's another thing for a heralder to come in and say, "By the way, I've got some great news. The king is coming and here's a way to get ready for him." That is an announcement that needs to be proclaimed right here, so that it can be proclaimed out there. Are we teaching, answering questions, interacting on a personal level? Are we also proclaiming where God gives open doors? Over the last several weeks, we have traveled from Pennsylvania out to California and now back to the East Coast. Trust me, I prefer the East Coast. I felt so out of sorts over there. I don't even know what that side of that's a different country, brother. I asked my wife if we needed a passport to get into California because I'm not so sure. But they let me in. I was surprised they let me out. But so we got back out. And you know, though, throughout this process, we've had to stay in hotels. It's amazing to me. I'm not used to this because in Puerto Rico, it's not like this, okay? But it's amazing how just strangers will kind of strike up a conversation with you. I'm still trying to go through the reverse culture issues, and I understand it in churches. You guys can talk to us anytime. We totally get that. But like people I've never met, like complete strangers who, you know, I just, and they're just, "Oh, by the way, where are you from and what are you doing?" I'm going, "Who are you, FBI?" You know? I'm just waiting for them to hunt me down or something. So, but... you know, and I'm sitting back going, "Okay, God, open the door. Give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Where's the wind? Just give me a crack. Just give me wisdom." Is that the heart? I'm not saying I'm perfect in it. I'm still trying to remind myself of the same truths, okay? But is that the heart that you have? Is that what you're looking for, to proclaim something that an awesome God has given you to proclaim to others? There's a third word. Look with me, if you will, please. In Luke 24, in Luke 24, we actually find the word preach once again, and we're supposed to do it in the name of somebody in particular. So it's not in our name, it's not in pastor's name, it's not in this church's name, but in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, the Bible says, let's start in verse 46, "And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. In the authoritative name of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there should be a repentance and a remission of sin preached." That's the gospel. And then it goes on to say this: "Beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses." If you notice in my presentation, we kind of highlighted three things. The idea that we are to obviously teach, preach, and the word I use is testify. We are to give witness. Give witness. Now, what is giving a witness? What is testifying? It's simply sharing what you know to be true. If I were to have a courtroom right here and I were to say, Pastor, please come up and I want you to testify about what Jeremy Markle ate yesterday while you took him out and had a delicious meal. And he would come up here and he would say, I observed such and such. And this is what he ate. And this is how much he ate. And this is what we talked about while we ate. And I have the receipt for it. And it's factual. And it was an experience that's based on reality. And there's proof. That's what a witness does. That's the testimony that he gives. So, the Great Commission. We know we're supposed to preach, right? And we know we're supposed to teach. So what is this witness thing? Well, the verse here says that we're supposed to witness of these things. When we go into Acts chapter 1, 8, it says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Are you giving testimony of the experience that you have had with God changing your life and the life of your loved ones? Maybe you're sitting in a doctor's office. And unfortunately, we know several have been announced to be in the doctor's office emergency room here today. We've had those experiences both on the field as well as here in America. And so you sit in a doctor and you think to yourself, okay, this person's sick and that's perfect. Well, I'm not going to shake their hand. You know, we have got the coronavirus. Everybody, yeah, by the way, there's antiseptic spray back there and stuff. But okay, so Well, maybe this person needs to hear that you have a testimony of how God has actually healed you or is giving you strength through that process. Maybe you've gone through a hurricane and maybe somebody who's gone through a whirlwind of an experience in their life, maybe God would like you to share a testimony of His greatness and His saving power and His comfort. Maybe you've gone through some of the worst health problems that we as individuals can ever imagine with regards to cancer. Or maybe you've had a doctor look at you and say, you know, I think you're bleeding on the brain and I don't know what's wrong with you and I don't know what's going to stop it and I can't help you and I don't know what's going to happen as you're losing sight in one eye and your head feels like it's going to explode. Maybe God just had you go through that so that you can look at somebody else who is either dying or has a family member who's struggling and you could say, but God wants to save you, and God is your comfort. And just as I had an opportunity to lay on a bed in a hospital and not know if I would wake up, I would be assured of my place in heaven. Maybe Christians need to stop internalizing what God is doing in their life. They need to start proclaiming it. They need to stop just moping about and they need to start saying, wow, look at what He's done. In the last 2 months, today is 2 months since we landed here in the States. Our schedules have changed so, I mean, I had my schedule planned out a year in advance and I'm going, this is good. I know where I'm going. I don't have a clue where I'm really going, but I at least have a plan. And I've had pastors change. I've had to flip churches already. I have a pastor tonight who won't even be in the service. I've had just changes all over the place. And I've sat back and I've thought to myself, what in the world is this furlough going to be? How am I going to do this? Well, wait a minute. It wasn't just 2.5 years ago that my world turned upside down. Can I testify? What struggle are you going through today that God wants you to testify about tomorrow? Because it will give you the opportunity to instruct somebody, to teach somebody about God's grace and His love. And how about then you can actually proclaim His gospel and see a soul saved? You say, Pastor Markle, this is Sunday school and you sound like you're preaching. Not yet. Not yet. We have got to wake up. We have got to realize the awesomeness of our God and the greatness of our responsibility. And until we do that, this world will continue. Forget about the politics. Forget about all of the troubles around the world and all the diseases. This world will continue to suffer the worst disease it could ever face. It's called sin. And the only solution is Christ. Throughout the gospel accounts, there are other similarities and other distinctions. We know that in Matthew and in Mark, we're told to baptize, which means there are steps of discipleship after somebody accepts the great and awesome news of Jesus Christ. There's a teaching opportunity, not just to get somebody saved, but in Matthew 28, the Bible doesn't say that we're supposed to teach them the commands. Does somebody have Matthew 28 open? Verse 20? I know I've told you to turn in your Bible. Can anybody remember for me, in verse number 20, it says, teaching them to do what?
Observe.
All things. Not to just know all things. We've got too many believers who can list all the doctrines of faith but don't know how to put them in practice. And that involves baptism, and that involves the steps of discipleship, and that involves maturity in the Christian life so that they have something to testify about in the works of God in their life to reach their family for Christ. This is the Great Commission. This is the purpose of God and why we're on this earth and why He didn't take us off this earth as soon as we were saved. Mark 16:16 talks about baptizing the saved as well. And it goes on to say, but he that believeth not shall be... Listen to me. Those who are not saved, the biblical term for their condition is they are you ready? I'm not swearing. They are damned. When will we stop talking about how wicked they are and their politics and this and that about those neighbors? And when will we realize that they are lost and already in God's eyes waiting for a spot in hell unless they'll accept Christ as a Savior? And the way that God has for them to accept Christ as their Savior is for us to proclaim that He is their Savior. I am passionate about the needs of this country. But until Christians do their part, there is no hope for this country. I don't believe this is anything new that you've heard from this podium, from this platform, but hopefully it will come as an encouragement. We typically look at the Great Commission as soon as a missionary... I've sat through so many missionary sermons. And Matthew 28, okay, here we go. Heard that. Okay, but have we considered the panorama? Have we considered all the angles and the multiplicity of voices that God was using? I just 15, 20 minutes to say, let's come back to the basics. There's so much more that could be shared. I'm not going to try and in any way take up more of your time. But may we leave this morning different than we arrived.